Hello, friends. It's us.
It's us again.
Welcome back to Let's Dig Into That, where we embrace the struggle of being intentionally human. Join us as we volunteer our vulnerability in pursuit of growth and lasting change. And who do I do this with? As always, she's my dark-haired darling with a calling for adventure. She's the best partner, student, and mentor. It's Jordan, everybody. Well, what's up, baby?
What is up? I love your smile, so genuine. It's us. Tickled him.
When I was editing the last episode, and that's how you started sort of naturally, I was like, I'm doing that forever.
It's like I got goosed right there from the get.
Awesome.
I am joined by my skin-coated gemstone, a haiku-hustling baritone, the eager aim-to-pleaser. It's my snack, mate. GT! I'll share my snack time with you.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I don't have to just shame corner all the time. I do love snacks solo when it's just a intimate, you know, salty, savory, back and forth, getting your own like a DJ.
Oddly enough, I think that could actually play into the conversation I'm hoping to have today.
You curious about stuff?
I am curious about something called radical honesty. Or we want to kind of reframe that, because that was a title of a book back in 1996. And there's some controversy around it. We'll get into that.
Well,
but
sure, not
savage honesty, just this brutal honesty is what I want to talk about. And I would think that some of that I want to snack alone is sort of that secret behavior that maybe is a response to
the encroachment. Encroachment on my snack time. But it's true. I don't know if that phrase has been copywritten, coined, but respect where respect is due there. And really exciting, like owning all of it. And savage honesty is a phrase that I bandy about, where it's a kind of a path. Like once you're in that current of truth telling, the flow is real.
Yep, and it's pretty hard to go backwards.
Yes.
Before we get too far into this, I do want to take a quick second. We dive into some pretty heavy topics.
We have our moments.
And we're about to talk about this radical, savage, brutal honesty. And everyone has their own truth. And everyone has their own journey. And everyone has their own trauma and struggle. And I just wanted to take a quick second and say, man, we do this. This podcast is to inspire and hopefully make you feel comfortable in doing the work and embracing the challenges that are ahead of you. It's definitely not meant to replace real professional mental health services. And I just wanted to put that out there.
Yes, our experiences we are advocating for, we will put on the shake and the shame dance in the hopes of inspiring others to dip a toe in that discomfort. Yeah, because but thank you.
We have grown and continue to grow from doing this, and we hope that it does the same for you, but it is not
inspire, not replace.
Exactly.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, since we've decided we are not the pros, but we are having a good time.
Exactly.
I hope it hangs there in radical
We're doing
honesty.
Good work.
I'm a little sweaty.
We're doing good work. Don't
I feel
be
like, oh man, truth telling time. So what does it mean to you? You go first.
I'll tell you. And so this is a hard thing to really dive into, but I'll make it as basic as I can. I think in our society, far too many people are too quick to make excuses, tell little white lies,
mask up
as opposed to saying how they actually feel. And this can go from any extent to, you know, when someone invites me to something I don't want to do, you make up some BS to not do it.
Lie about it instead of saying no.
or it could be you are debilitatingly polite and too scared to actually speak your truth. But like this idea of radical honesty to me is you don't do those things. You don't sugarcoat. You do not tell the small white lie to make the situation softer. You practice saying exactly how it is you feel, with the intention of being your authentic self and connecting with yourself. And you don't let the other people's feelings and the external things impact what you say and do.
How many friends you got in this scenario? Like, seriously, I'm like, cool. You sound like a barrel of laughs at the party.
I get that.
Yeah, and around the table. So, but respect, I think that was a really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you? Like, do you have your own sort of?
That was a good, the word radical is in there where that was an extreme. I appreciate the fact that you like took ownership of that. So I do think like that total transparency seems real. And so I'm going to actually use a reference because I feel like radical honesty seems, and I do, you're going to hear how I have become a big fan, but I was a hard sell because I could weave a white lie that would make anyone proud. Like I just got so, I was so good. My craft was
yeah.
But sharing thoughts, feels, and desires. Sharing, meaning somebody's on the receiving end
yes.
of your thoughts, feels, and desires. Being vulnerable, uh-huh. even when uncomfortable, with the goal of deeper intimacy and trust. Active listening without judgment. So that's on that receiver's part. So we're talking full disclosure, no filter, vulnerability, active listening.
Exhausted.
I am freaking exhausted. Like, I feel this is... You have a jersey for this because I am, I think, a doer. And so I'm like, this is my truth. As I whiz by and you were like, let's flesh out the, I want to tell you, I want to paint a picture of how I'm feeling in this moment. And I'm like,
I really...
snap a Polaroid. Gosh,
didn't need to know that.
I sound awful, but that just reading that definition, I was like, oh my God.
Well, the... I like to think I'm good at practicing this because I haven't always. And so I made the decision in my life to practice this radical honesty stuff. And I think maybe I do it too much because you weren't wrong in the fact that this is exhausting and to constantly being talking about all the things. But I am of the philosophy and the faith that you have the discussions and then you know where you sit. And mm-hmm. the discussions don't have to be as regular, but sometimes in moments of struggle, argument, when you're not mm-hmm. seeing eye to eye, if you actually talk about it, it makes the next argument so much softer. You're doing the work today to make sure that your tomorrow goes well. That's how I look at radical honesty, truly, is it's a present thing because I think it gets really, really, really challenging
uh-huh.
when you go backwards. Like
the changing it up, yeah.
Well, the first thing is like... Inside of a relationship, we're married. I think mm-hmm. the first question that comes to my mind is like, how much do you share about your past with your partner?
Yes, because you said present, you know? And I went instantly to, you got to come clean. You know, like that's what radical honesty is. I got to tell this person my, you know, my whole portfolio, my, what do you call that? Your
history?
No, the word you the other day, you were like, that's a tricky one. Dossier stressed you out the other day.
So, well, I had to spell it. Yeah, it stressed me out.
That's fair. Oh, it's a French, I'm guessing. And so I think that, yeah, in my mind, I was kind of starting from a place of, yes, I need to come clean. I need to own up. I need to take accountability for all of these things. And in a relationship, I think the like low hanging fruit is like your sexual past. Like what are your relationship past?
What's
your number?
Yeah.
Things like that. Like what am I dealing with here in the slut zone? And so that's what they call it now, I think. What you're rating on that slut scale. And
yeah.
so, and I feel that that's a actually primo example of us where JT feels probably most empowered and in control when he's like, I need to know, you might have just said it, where I stand. I need to know what kind of what I'm dealing with. I would like the lay of the land and all the details. Where I'm going, here's what he needs to know. And I think that's completely normal where I, yes, and maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit in my enthusiasm where you withholding, I'm sure, or omission, things like that, where I am not going to, I'm at a place now in my life where I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
But I also don't think I'm going to sit you down and feel the need to talk about my whole life experience in that way.
I think that's one of the important distinctions when we're talking about this savage, brutal, radical honesty is that it needs to be framed in the present moment and moving forward. And so there can be some dangers, but I love that you use the word accountability. There's a lot of power that comes from owning the things that you feel shame about from your past. And that's mm-hmm. one of the benefits. Like, I think the first question that I had when I was like, radical honesty, why?
Yeah.
You know, what's the point? Like, mm-hmm. what does it do to benefit us as humans? Like, mm-hmm. why do we do this? Here's my answer.
Okay. You worked through it.
I worked through it, found an answer.
Good.
I was like, why do I do this? It's for me. It's, you know, I don't look at how it impacts the other people. It's how I have to find my authentic self. And what it does for me is I'm an anxious person.
Yeah.
I struggle
caught up in the fibs.
I struggle with stress and anxiety. And if I'm backtracking to cover the excuse I made to not hang out with that person, and now I can't go to that town because that person's there. It's just so stressful. Mm-hmm. The white lies that add up and snowball. We all know how that works. When you say a little fib, that little fib started as a snowflake, but by the time it's done, it's a full-on snowman, you know?
Yes.
And I can't handle that stress and anxiety, and my life has improved immensely by making sure that I am brutally honest with the people in my life. Mm-hmm. When someone asks something of me and I don't want to do it, my answer is, no, I'm not really feeling that. As opposed to, no, you know what, I'm out of town that weekend or blah, 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 blah.
Or sure, I'll do it. Yeah, or doing it because and you don't right. want to. Because I love saying yes to things I don't want to do and then actively being angry about it and resenting the person in the moment, just disgruntly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's another advantage.
To drive home and just, yeah. And it should be, you're right, I was dishonest with myself.
Right.
And that is, uniquely, this is the first opportunity where I've taken the time to try to be that honest with myself and actually give a hoot. Because I even said in your intro, the eager aim to pleaser.
Yep.
We both were really good. So when do you, how did you rank on the lie scale? Like, were you a dishonest human back in the day?
Yes. And it's harsh to put it that way. Mm-hmm. But the reason I say yes to that is I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted, who I wanted to spend my time with. I didn't really know any of it.
I know he wanted to be close to them. He was going to stand close to anybody, sniff them out. Aww.
Well, what that really came from, like all the things that made me feel fulfilled in my life were external. And so I was mask to mask, costume to costume. And so it's harsh in my mind to say, were you a dishonest person? But the answer is yes. But the way that I feel that I was dishonest is I didn't know what I wanted. So I tried to be a lot of things that I wasn't.
Test drove some opportunities.
And so, yeah. How about you? Like, do you feel like
I don't know where the instinct came from, but I was incapable of boundaries, lack of boundaries, codependency maybe. Where I aimed to please as well. And so I just started when my body would hit capacity of I need, because I do recharge in a solitude capacity. I've made that explicitly clear. I'm so sorry. But I do need, and so to get that space, to find and protect that space I needed, the lie would fall out of my freaking face hole. Like, and it wasn't, and if I was running late to something or an appointment, like, as opposed to just telling the truth, my natural, I have no clue why instinct would be like, oh, doing construction on the road. I remember getting to a point where I was like, did I see one orange cone today? Like, would that be, is that the gray? My gray zone is much bigger than yours. Very big. Like, you are a black and white with like a, you can see a whisper, but you can see those hard colors. And I am just like floating out there in the gray. And so I was pretty, and that is so disrespectful to myself, to my people, and ick. And I do think that sobriety was the one that definitely, like, not, choosing not to drink and knowing I was unwilling to bullshit about it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wasn't going to be like, oh, I'm just cleansing. I decided that, and I had the opportunity because I was in a new zip code. So I was very, very fortunate to be like, I'm introducing myself as this
sober
new, this
person.
Is my new, that I am a, that's just a thing about Jordan that you know now.
Right.
And I was terrified of being rad, like the subversive nature, how ick and like to have to own my weakness and how absolutely pathetic. And now I'm like, a yay. Like, yeah, it comes out of my mouth, but it doesn't need to, because much like radical honesty, that was the moment, because I'm not down necessarily with the whole system of pretending that like an old timer's a priest and you just are like confessing all of your sins. But I very much say, if that is a safe place for you, if you dig that person and you, there is so much relief in getting that shit off your chest.
There's a reason why you make a moral inventory and tell a sponsor.
I believe in the system.
All the things process, that you've been holding in, like that's part of the healing journey. And that's definitely one of the punchy in the face styles of savage radical honesty that I've ever had to go through, is like, you have to make a list of all the things that you did wrong, the lies that you've told to other people, and then share it to another human.
So I, again, did not go through that. No, no.
But I am glad that you sort of brought up drinking, and I don't want this to be an AA conversation, but I think that my drinking really got out of control because I wasn't practicing an honesty aspect. I was so stressed. I masked
fertile
a lot.
Fertile ground for BS lie nation.
And to feel good about
personal
it.
Experience.
I think that I self-medicated for sure.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and there was something exciting about those like secret behaviors. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
yes, I do.
Sneaking a little swig in the garage.
I never smoked cigarettes. Like I never was radically honest. Like if anyone ever asked, like, and that was, yeah, I've had rules. Like, I only smoke internationally. That's not a thing. Well, it is. And I thought it was. I convinced myself. So you got magical thinking, which is really tricky to put on your radical honesty goggles. So with that, it's like I joined a club. I was like, okay, cool. Now I party with this crew. I hope we commingle all the time. But that principle resonated because it felt so freeing to be like, yeah, I don't have the energy to maintain this BS.
Right.
And my conscience finally caught up too, of it doesn't feel like I like myself more than to lie to those close to me. And I wasn't trying to hurt them.
Right.
But I also was packed full of nonsense. Yeah. So again, I feel like the emotional side, how does radical honesty with us in particular, like show up for, like, how does it make us show up differently? Because we started here.
We did.
You had adopted this. I got in trouble. I got caught in the lie. I was outed. I am now a committed truth teller. Pathological truth teller.
Yes.
So the first time we spoke, you were like, here, hold this. And gave me that list of all the things. And so we set a foundation of, there's no secret single. I feel like there's privacy.
Yes.
And so that is and that has been replaced. But
great job making that distinction.
Yeah, because that was like, I drank in a detached garage. I know every alcoholic hopefully has good bathroom shooter, hand-poured shooter stories, like all of that. But like my cigarettes again too, where I'm like, no, I don't really. Did I ever tell you I smoked?
You said on occasion.
Well.
And then I moved in and that wasn't true.
On occasion, on days. When I'm awake, that was the occasion.
But, yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't anymore. But, yeah, that was, and for me, I think I was so lost spiraling in my lies that I had no freaking clue who I was.
Right.
I think I was really unhappy in a lot of places, and so that was where I would put on my music loud in my headphones. People paint. I think that is a much healthier. I was never a painter, and I would dance and sweat and cuss and smoke, and that was
thing. The punchline of what we're saying here is that I think those are a great indicator that you're really struggling with honesty and authenticity in other areas of your
fake
life.
Fake as hell.
If you are sneaking out to the garage to take a swig, if you're hiding the fact that you're smoking cigarettes, driving around in your car with a glove on.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure
yes.
That's something that you did.
Oh my God. I had single gloves stuffed in the back of the passenger seat pocket.
If that's
and
something,
yeah, with the spritz of perfume to the face. I've eaten so much cheap perfume. Like it's just like body mist, which might as well be floor mist.
And so I would encourage people to see if that's a part of your life, like you're getting excitement from that. It's probably a wonderful indication that there's something off in your authentic core of who you are. You know, whether it be your relationship or your home life. But I think that take a look at those behaviors. If you're sneaking away and you're doing something and it's feeling good, it means you're lacking something elsewhere. And it's a really great time to look into that.
The signs were loud.
Yeah.
To use your phrase.
Exactly. When things are off course, the signs are loud as hell.
But I was attempting to ask you a question.
Okay.
But how does it, being committing to this radically honest lifestyle or, you know, just practice, how does it make you operate with me in it? Like, yeah. How has it changed your relationship?
It is so powerful. And basically what it does is I get to show up and present authentically every day. I'm not afraid to have the conversations with you, and the amount of stress and anxiety that are just immediately lifted. Like, I think you put an analogy of, it felt like I hiked the entire Appalachian Trail with a backpack on. Then practicing this idea of radical honesty, mm-hmm. and when there's something that's weighing heavy on my heart, telling someone about it, it's an instant relief. And I don't walk around worried about things that are outside of my control. It allows me to gauge what is in my control and what's out of it, and really makes me a better person because I'm not hiding behind anything. It's like I chose to remove the mask. Here I am, take it or leave it. And it's such a wonderful feeling most of the time. I'm not going to say that sometimes it does backfire. In our own relationship, sometimes it can create an exhaustion. Like,
when I hurt your feelings every single day. But is that true?
Well, yeah, to a degree. And so
intentional.
And when I say, hey, that hurt my feelings, sometimes the reaction isn't always wonderful because it's like, here we go again. We're talking about feelings.
That is exactly my reaction. And it doesn't sound nice, but it is. We've been here before, and I want to do better, but I also am faced with I think I'm funny. And so
you are
and
funny.
Sometimes I'm quick, and so there. And I was raised, which is not an excuse, but maybe given because I liked it, apparently, that
habits to break. If I want to.
And right. That's the thing, is I do have a snarky, you need a bit of a thick skin.
Yes.
And that is not something like, I don't want you to change who you are. Yeah. When I hear it, like, and I'm like, oh, I probably wouldn't say that to just anyone. But I'm like, I guess I'm test driving my boundaries on what I can get away with. But
well, I think the reason that it's a benefit in my life is because when I leave the house at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day and I come home, like, I know what I'm expecting. You know who I am. Like, nothing has changed. Nothing. Like, I remember a lot of times in my life, like, being uncomfortable on, like, when I come home, you know, did she find the thing in the garage, blah, 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 and just constant worry and stress. And, like, I don't worry about anything because I'm full on display for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I can choose to live authentically. You know, that's what feels good for me.
Anxiety naturally, and then compounding that with the wake up, oh man, whose feelings did I hurt? What mess do I need to clean up? What text did I send?
Right.
That's really taxing.
Of course.
That empties your tank. And mm-hmm. yeah, and then you're masking up
right.
for the day there.
This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by
The White Lies Are What Got You Here. Face it, people don't change, no one is telling the truth, and you can't name a bad reason for a background check. Whether you're getting back out there, looking for the one, or just plain sick of getting burned by the poetry-writing surfer who was actually a redneck Santa vacationing in Vegas, liar, liar, your vibe is not fire. If you're ready for a real, radical, truth-telling relationship, sign up for E-Honesty. E-Honesty is the only site proudly employing retired Navy SEALs, intelligence operatives, mental health advocates, and the world's top relationship experts. We will assemble a travel team to ensure your profile, as well as theirs, is riddled with the stone-cold truth. Time is precious, and you might think you are too. We shall see. Visit E-Honesty to start your interrogation today. Use the code Let's Dig Into That and receive your first 3 invasive prospect interviews on us. That's discount code Let's Dig Into That at ehonesty.com.
Not a real product, but not a bad idea.
So I want to pose a question to you. Where is the line? Like, we've sort of talked about going into the past and talking about, you know, maybe information that's from the past that's not relevant, but like, what do you hold sacred? Is there things that you shouldn't share?
Ooh, yeah, I know. I'm like, of course there are, and you're dead inside. And so I do think, again, boundaries is the word I'm going to use here, because I think for me, my assessment of what I think we need to share is I'm looking at the end goal.
Yes.
And so if you approached me with a question that I found unnecessarily invasive, which is a really hard spot to get to, but I'm like, this is just gonna hurt his feelings if I tell him the truth that I am not going, my instinct is now not at all to lie about it. But I do think what we've set up is, I would say, why do you want to know? And I wish I could have better, you know, more graceful, but like, what's the end game of this? Because if you had a smidge of insecurity pumping through those veins that day, oh my God, like, what would be,
what,
there'd
a turn
be
off.
A burning ceremony, there would be a whole thing. How do you spend, is that Sean with a W or a U? Of course it's a U. Like, there's no Sean. But like, yeah, there's nothing that I'm high, but I feel that I am, like, we are in this. I am very present in the moment, and I'm making choices with you and with our future in mind moving forward. And so it's, I don't want to. I also have a lot of experience in protecting others by not giving them the full story. I mean, yeah.
But that's not your place to protect them.
Right. Something that is retraining that is difficult. And so I am still a very much work in progress in this zone where I'm telling the truth, but I also am struggling with the, I don't know. So the piece I'm working on is, what do I want and how much do I? Because, yeah, I think that being able to share, it does feel instantly better. And that is so great to, like, know your audience. And then setting, I think we do a really good job of preemptive work on, okay, I got something I want to talk about. And here's what I need from you today is just sounding board. I would love it if you had no reaction. Or
right.
I would love it if I could say this, oh my God, I'm having a flashback to talking to my mom, period, or tampons or something, through a closed door. And I'm just like, I have questions that need answers, but I can't look at you.
Right.
And so sometimes it might be, can we talk about this tomorrow? I just need to, I call it planting seeds with you, where I'm like, I'm just going to put this out there.
I love, sometimes you'll start a conversation with like, hey, I'd like to broach something that's a little sensitive.
What did I say this morning? I'm Swiss, baby. I'm yeah. Switzerland.
I'm Switzerland. And so I love that. That's a great approach, because a lot of this is about the response, because we're trained. A lot of this sort of white lie that's protect their mm-hmm. feelings. It's, I don't want to hurt someone's feelings, so I'm not going to give them the
politeness.
Truth. The politeness, it's dangerous.
It is, oh, and I don't interrupt your flow.
No, go ahead. Go
but
ahead.
I'm going back to your no friend group.
This, they just yeah, live far away.
You're
all
just
right?
telling the truth about everyone. I think it's important that this is your truth. You're
yes.
being honest with yourself. You are not now the observational comedian of the group. Like, well, man, it's been fun. Like, Joe, you know you're a narcissist, and man, you can really shift the mood. Like, this is not an opportunity to start just blazing everyone else. Your opinions might be
right.
Your thoughts on
your thoughts and your emotions.
Not what I'm pushing for.
Well, again, you can volunteer them in a close-knit circle. In a committed relationship like us, I feel comfortable in saying anything at any time. Don't volunteer your opinion when it's not necessary. That's not what radical honesty is about. Yes, you're being honest, but you're also just being hurtful for no reason.
Right.
To say, yeah, wow, so-and-so's put on a bunch of weight. Probably something you should keep to yourself.
I do think...
Just because it was in your head doesn't mean you got to say it out loud.
Right. I will say, if you are lucky enough to have a friend with Asperger's, I mean, stay
winning.
Close. Winning. Abso-freaking-lutely. And so, oh, I have some rock stars in my life. And that truth sometimes. I've learned things about myself from outsiders. But absolutely where I think telling someone like, wow, you're really stinking it up in the parenting department. Like, nope. Not your place. But yeah. Okay.
It's
sorry,
sort of
I shifted.
When it's been asked for, or you can lend a helping hand, or you're in a relationship. I mean, this is a relationship building thing. Like, if you are trying to be close with someone and create a higher level of intimacy, this is a way to do that. And but it doesn't extend all to the all external. Like, again, there are opinions and things that you should keep sacred, because we do want to protect people's feelings, but we don't want to do it with lies.
Right. It's not. Yeah, exactly. I can't, you know, stand strongly enough on the soapbox of do not sway from who you are. But coming in with all of your points of view printed on your T-shirt and being like, take it or leave it. You know, coworkers, like, I do think, but like the girlfriend relationships that I have, the really close-knit friendships, that you're right, it takes that time, but slowly towing the line that now I'm at a place where if I sent, oh, I'm taking this for Miranda July, just as a 40-year-old woman, just a nude selfie to my bestie right now and was like, see you in a couple weeks, this is what we're dealing with. She would be like, I get you. And yeah. She would probably return the favor. Yeah. And so, yes, if you have not read Miranda July's All Fours, I encourage you to do so. But yeah, go ahead.
You said something earlier, and I thought it was really powerful, and we should probably reiterate it. But you were like, a lot of times my real response is, I don't know. That has such a negative thought process. I was raised in a household with sports that saying I don't know was unacceptable. That meant that you were not up to par, that you hadn't done the work beforehand to be there. I don't know was not a thing that you could say. But it is one of the most powerful things you can say. When someone's like, hey, I would love to know how you feel about that, and you don't have your thoughts, it's almost like when you're in the heat of an argument, taking some space to compose what you want to say. You don't want to say the things that are just firing out of you. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and giving yourself an opportunity to sort of think about it is so powerful, and I wish more people would take back the power that comes with, hey, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that when I do. But right now, I don't.
I'm with you that saying it out loud.
That is so honest.
Saying it out loud is an impossibility. That I was pick a lane, pick a flavor, pick a color. I was time is of the essence.
Right.
And I think that saying it quietly to myself feels really scary, empowering. Like that good, you know, where nerves are a little wrecked. Like, oh, that'll be kind of fun to find out, I hope.
Right.
And so that is a really cool introspective opportunity. But out loud, like, I was trained in the service industry at some point where you don't say you don't know. Ooh, I look forward to finding out, and I'll be right back with you. So I can't wait to find out.
Right.
Yeah.
Huge
I'll get
tool.
Back to you. Buy yourself time is definitely my move.
Absolutely.
Can I take a minute and then jog away?
I like that.
Away. And so do you think that politeness like this, I think this is a trick question, can lead to some passive aggressive behavior?
Oh, big time.
Hmm.
Like the definition textbook example that they use to help people understand what passive aggressive is leaving a note to to express something that could be said in a conversation that might be difficult. You know what I mean? Like instead of saying, hey, I need you to remember to do this, you leave a huge star note with a bunch of arrows saying, pull this out of the wall or whatever it is that you needed me to do. That's passive aggressive. And it's because you're falling back on your please and thank you politeness, and you're avoiding the confrontation that it could come to, as opposed to just being like, hey, there's a way I can approach this without pissing them off. You don't want to do that work, so you just leave the note. And so I think it's extremely rooted in over polite. And I think it's important that when we're talking about polite, we're not saying please and thank you. That's not what we're talking about right here. We're talking about
accommodation,
being overly considerate to the point where it's taking away from your authentic self. I think that's a big thing that happens. Social media, for example, like everyone's joyous and lovely and having a wonderful time.
Or mean as hell.
But there's not a lot of like real. It's just people putting out a polite version of who they are to try to show
good
other people.
To make like honesty and truth different from real.
Yes.
Like,
well, we're trying to combine those things with radical honesty.
Them,
you know, that's sort of
come
the,
together.
The
yep.
purpose is let's make sure that our reality is rooted in our truth, because when it's not, that's how we get lost. That's how we get stuck. That's why we're talking about this. That's why there was a best-selling book in 1996. Like, this isn't a new concept.
No.
It's just sort of lost on today's society, and that's why I thought it was relevant.
So leaving a note, I thought was efficient. Where I'm going, yeah, because you're absolutely right. If I want to avoid the confrontation, there are truths that I am guilty of keeping quiet because I play out the scenario. And if I own myself, own my whatever, and speak my mind in that moment, I'm going to have to clean up and coddle and deal with the repercussions of that.
Okay.
And so I think there is a danger of me not being radically honest when there's a lot of feelings involved. And so I will protect the feelings.
And what's the end result when you do that?
Could lead to that, yeah, drive away pissy resentment moment. But if it outweighs the clean, I don't know, pros and cons, that could be a breaking point.
So in...
But sounds like a slippery slope.
In caring for kids and doing my trust-based relational intervention work, there's a saying, and it's, do you want to clean up now or later? And that would be what I would say to that is, like, the way you feel, you might be protecting the day, but you might be stretching that issue so much further than it could be. And that's my sort of philosophy on things is, like, if we got really good at communication and you had something that you wanted to get off your chest and it could be a very simple 5 to 10 minute conversation and then we moved on, that's the goal. That's what we're trying to get to. That would be awesome because then you can get it out of your wagon and continue on with your day. I would argue when you hold it in like that and you're not practicing this idea of savage, brutal, radical honesty, you're actually extending the problem. Instead of it being done on Monday, now we're talking about it on Sunday and you sat with it all week. And sometimes there's some positivity in that. But in reality, like, see, clean up your mess now or clean it up later. Or if you never do it, it becomes a much bigger problem.
Right. And because I don't know if I sit with, I'm like, you've taken, you're now in this, you know, zone. And so you've got to just own what that means and stay there. And I'm thinking of like family dinner. And they're like, Jordan loves food. She'll eat anything. So I don't love Chinese food all the time. There's Chinese food I very much love, but my options are limited, not my favorite. However, if Sunday dinner, that's the venue, and they're thinking it pleases me, and I just can't and don't. Like, there's only so many crab rangoon that one person can do. But the conversation that happens at that table, the joy that it brings the people around to be together, I don't give a hoot if I have to just choke down a poo-poo platter.
Right.
Like, I'll part. I don't dislike it that much. And so but what, it's true. What but I'm saying, going,
we're speaking in metaphors and easy digestible ones that, like Chinese food.
But should I speak up and be committed to everyone? We find something that everybody likes.
I think there's a very positive way. And it's something, I don't love this term, but it's called a different truth. And so it's sort of borderlines on the idea of omission, which I very much consider lying. But coming up with a different truth. And so in that situation, I would say, if you don't speak up, there's a possibility you're having Chinese food 3 nights a week and you're pretty upset about it.
And so, broke. Yeah.
And so take that and multiply it times 10 with emotional issues and sort of how that, you can see how that can snowball, right? Mm-hmm. So in the fun situation of Chinese food, I would say at the end of dinner, maybe you can very casually tell the host, hey, I love that, but man, am I getting pretty tired of Chinese food? Like, we've been eating it all the time, and I'm just, you know.
Tell the host? Yeah. Like, passive aggressive as hell, man.
How?
As opposed to telling the people. Like, why would I tell her?
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's a way to.
Oh, I thought you meant the host, like, at the restaurant, the employee.
No, whoever decided on Chinese food.
So sorry. Whoever that decided makes on sense. Chinese yes, food is like, the leader of our, yes, the table host.
That hit the
host.
Spot, but gotcha. I've been eating too much Chinese recently.
Right.
And so then they at least get the idea that, okay, Jordan's over Chinese food. You were able to express your truth without saying, like, you guys keep picking Chinese, and guess what? I don't like Chinese.
It's all about your framing.
Instead, you were like, you know, I'm kind of over Chinese for now. And that's much more digestible. And so this idea of different truths is sort of what I was getting to, where, again, borderlines on omission. But if someone asks me a question, like, let's just say a friend wants to hang out and I'm not really feeling it. If I know saying, hey, I don't really want to hang out with you is going to hurt their feelings, I will say something that's very similar, the same truth, but in a softer way. You know, like, I'm really comfortable at home today. I plan on having a day in. You know, that's my plan for the day. Let's put something else on the books. You know, you said a different truth where I don't think that that's different. It's a shift in perspective. instead of having to say the, I don't really want to hang out with you today, you said the same thing just in different language. And so I like to practice that where I want to say the truth, but I want to say it in a way that isn't hurtful. Does that make sense?
You would hate to hurt someone's feels.
Yeah.
So I mean, you get a better offer. Somebody else calls and says, hey, let's go to dinner. Do you have to call number one back because you didn't stay at home?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. I mean, that's tricky. And it would make me feel bad. What I do in those situations where my opinion changes, because it's I'm allowed to change my mind. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I usually tell someone else and be like, man, I feel really bad because so-and-so invited me out. And I told him that I was going to stay in today, and now I'm out, and I'm just feeling guilty about that, and I just wanted to share that with you. Because it's for me. It really is for me to make sure that I feel the most authentic. And then let's say the worst-case scenario happens that the first person who invited me out runs into us while we're out and about.
Can you imagine?
I'm honest. That's what I say is like, hey, I really thought we were going to be in, and then everyone just pressured me into being here, or whatever the situation is, but... Honesty really is the best policy because it doesn't have to be uncomfortable. Just be real. You know what I mean? It's just such a huge relief. And I've experienced it firsthand, and that's why I'm passionate about this. You know what I mean? Like, it is just a massive weight.
It does.
When you can just be honest with people and not have to juggle the lies.
And we were so giddy in the moments that were old habit. This would be an easy Insta, oh man, sorry, we're having a barbecue or have other plans or whatever. And we would tell the truth and the other person didn't freak out.
No.
The reaction was exactly what we wanted. They handled it. Everything worked out. And we were high five captains.
Yeah.
Whoo, told the truth, worked out, nothing caught on fire. And it felt so good.
Most of the time, that's how it goes. Like what you have in your head versus what plays out in reality is almost always so much worse. You know what I mean? Your thought in your head. And again, just being honest and upfront with folks, that's what they appreciate. Like, I think about people in my life who I envy, and sort of look up to, and they practice this so well. And I've had friends be like, you know what? I'm not feeling your energy. I've had people say that to me. And you know what my reaction was? Not hurt feelings. It was, I really appreciate them being honest, you know, because like that was maybe the more hurtful language than I would have used, because that's sort of the same thing.
I'm
going to
try it, though.
I'm feeling like staying inside today.
Not feeling your energy.
I'm not feeling your energy.
I think what I said was sanctuary.
You know who you are.
Okay. This has been, I so appreciate this because, it is really scary. Because those, you know, but also you sleep so much better. That's how I feel, is like the totally worth it is.
Really... I can't tell you how much of an impact this has had in my life. Mm-hmm. Like truly, when I'm putting this out there, like it feels so normal and innocent.
Right.
To have that little white lie to protect someone else's feelings. But what it can turn into in yourself and the way that it can progress to where you're sneaking into the garage and swigging alcohol. And like it really can be a slippery slope when you are too comfortable living outside of the truth.
Right. And how, if you're speaking the truth, I'm thinking of how much stuff I don't have to do because I don't want to. Like,
right.
How freeing is that too? Mm-hmm. All right. I have one last one for you. Can I ask you something?
Let's do it.
What's the one truth about relationships that you believe everyone should hear but might be too polite to say?
Ooh.
I was just curious.
Well, again, sitting next to my wife, but I'm going
to
be...
I can pretend to be someone else.
No, radical honesty. Relationships are difficult, and you can only control what you can control, and that includes, like, you are not in control of how your partner thinks and feels. What you can control is yourself, and the hardest truth I've had to realize is if you focus on all your attention on making someone else feel good... but you don't feel good at your core, it's worthless. You have to be great inside before you can be great outside. And that's just true.
Well, excellent. You hit on something there that the book, the 1996 book, did talk about reducing stress, yes, but also reactions improving.
Oh, yeah.
That the radical honesty is a huge proponent of, like, that you respond in better ways with the you know, well, deeper connections and positive relationships.
I love that. And I can see how that works. Mm-hmm. You know, you're saying how you feel and you're putting it all out there. And when someone does that to you, you're more responsive, obviously. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense.
So, okay. What was, so my question then
was, I want the same question
about relationships.
Yeah. What's your answer to that one?
Trust nothing.
No. Trust nothing.
I'm teasing. Yeah, I'm like, oh God.
Your partner's
snarky.
Radically but honest, but you don't trust
the
him.
The what I'm living right now in this experiment with you is I love you, but I love me more.
Yeah.
And that is something that I never thought about saying, felt permission to say. And I think I can love you better because of it. Like, the benefits are going to be great on your end. But yeah, I think that would be a truth. But like, I feel like the love doesn't fix everything. I'm always on my village moment comes to mind. Like, it takes a posse. And so love is not magic sauce in my personal experience and opinion. It is a beautiful icing if you're into icing. Gravy. I'm more of a brown gravy person. But,
no, I agree with that. And I have a different take on love. I do think that love has this incredible healing property.
Absolutely.
But if you're giving it all away and not holding on to any of it for yourself.
Bingo.
I couldn't agree with what you're saying more. You got to love yourself before you can love anyone else. So sort of had the same
answer.
Yay.
Yeah, that was good. All right. We did it. Truth telling.
This was great. Good truth telling, right?
I'm not going to be polite the rest of the day. My politeness is out the window.
Thanks for that.
Well, thanks for the challenge of being radically being honest. Yeah, gross. I'm over. I'm going to go hurt JT's feelings. Here we go. New
All
day.
Right, everybody. Well, I'm JT. Thanks for tuning in.
And I'm Jordan. Be brave, beautiful friends.
Tune in next time.